The environment in schools isn't just about lesson plans. What about the school buildings themselves, or the neighborhoods where they're located? The group Healthy Schools Pennsylvania says kids can be exposed to a lot of environmental toxins at school. Michelle Nakarati-Chapkis is Executive Director of Women for a Healthy Environment, which runs the Healthy Schools program. I talked with her about some of the dangers in schools and solutions.
There are a whole host of environmental factors in a school building that folks might not be familiar with. Things like lead in paint, radon in schools, the types of products that are used in schools for maintenance and operations, such as cleaning supplies, as well as things like pesticides that are used on the school grounds. Our buildings are aging, 40 to 50 year old buildings, school buildings across the United States, and we know that nearly 50 million students, 6 million adults are stepping foot into these buildings. One in six Americans steps foot into a school building every day. And with this infrastructure, we need to make an investment. You know, that's a funding issue too. There was a report that just came out this year. It's the State of Our Schools, which came out a couple of weeks ago. It showed that the historic spending for K-12 facilities was at $99 billion, that the modern standards to bring that up to today's standards would be $145 billion, which would basically leave a projected gap of $46 billion for K-12 facilities to really upgrade. We have product in our school buildings that we know aren't safe, but have been used traditionally in years past, such as asbestos, and PCBs have been used in the lighting fixtures in buildings. So these carcinogenic products are still in our buildings, and now with our aging infrastructure, we need to address that and renovate these spaces to make them healthier.
Are there studies that you've looked at that link kids' health or performance in school to environmental issues at their school buildings or where those buildings are located?
The scientific evidence is pointing more toward demonstrating how we can create that green and healthy environment by reducing these environmental toxins on a daily basis. If we keep those buildings healthy, then we're keeping all of the people in those buildings healthy. And as a result, then we have less absenteeism rates. We have students in the seats who then lead to better learning and better achievement and academic performance. So, for instance, we can use green cleaning as an example. It's an issue that our organization has been working on a while now. And there are lots of studies that have been done that show that by switching to a third-party certified green cleaning product, a product that has been screened and tested for safety, by utilizing those products in a school building, that it does certainly reduce any asthma triggers, allergy triggers, et cetera, that really creates a better environment for all of those, including custodial staff.
So instead of like chlorine-based products, more naturally based products.
Right, plant-based products, more moving toward things like hydrogen peroxide as a base, as opposed to traditional antibacterial, antimicrobial products. Oftentimes when we have these commercial as well as consumer-grade products that we purchase, we don't know of all of the ingredients. Studies have been done that show that ingredients in cleaning products that are used still in schools contain things like asthmogens, which are triggers for asthma, or carcinogens. And so we want people to move toward another type of product that is comparatively priced to traditional products and works just as effectively, if not better, than products that are traditionally used in the school buildings.
One of your initiatives is the Healthy Schools Map, where you're looking at environmental hazards that are nearby schools, not in schools, but neighborhoods where the schools are located. And I was kind of struck by the fact that 61% of school districts in southwestern Pennsylvania have one or more air emission sources within a one-mile radius of the school building. I guess maybe we shouldn't be so surprised in southwestern Pennsylvania, but, you know, that's not necessarily something that we can change. But how should schools deal with these risks?
It's a good question. When we did our mapping initiative, we looked at various environmental factors within a one-mile radius of school buildings and found air emission sources, as well as gas wells, compressor stations, active mining operations, and active railroads. And that's certainly a concern these days with the derailments that we've been seeing in the news over the last couple of years, especially the trains that are carrying crude oil. What we can do is to use that information for emergency preparedness and response. Also use it in terms of siting of new schools and proper planning of schools. We certainly don't want to construct a new school within that buffer zone that we're describing of the 1 mile, as well as the school building itself and the facility directors and staff, so that they are familiar and are working through their HVAC system, for instance, of changing filters, looking at the intakes, the outtakes in those buildings so that they're reducing these exposures. And air quality action days. If we have an air quality action day, it's an opportunity to really think about having those kids out on the playground at recess. It might not be a day that it's healthy for them to be outside, even though our skies are blue.
Is Pennsylvania doing enough at the state level to help address these issues with schools?
We could be doing better. And the organization, Healthy Schools PA, is working at the state level to talk with our legislators about policies that would better protect the health of the school community. There are 11 states in DC that have passed green cleaning and school bills, and we think that makes good sense for Pennsylvania to follow. We also have been talking with legislators about radon in schools. We have many states that have passed bills that require radon testing once every 5 years. We have testing of our homes when we have a home transfer, but we don't have that of our schools. And we really need to be focusing on radon, as we know, a contributor to lung cancer. It's a second leading cause of lung cancer in the U.S.
You know, crumbling buildings are kind of an obvious sign that a school might not be safe, but probably a lot of parents aren't familiar with, for example, integrated pest management, which is something that your organization looks at and pays attention to in schools. So what should parents look for when it comes to environmental safety in their child's school?
We have laws in Pennsylvania, such as anti-idling laws for buses, that ensure that buses don't idle any longer than a period of 5 minutes in 1 hour in a 60-minute time period. But we know oftentimes that's getting overlooked. So parents can be that strong voice to say, turn off the engine. We have an IPM law in Pennsylvania. However,
IPM is integrated pest management.
See,
I didn't even know that.
The acronyms, right? Integrated pest management, yes. And so schools then have to post and notify the school community when they're going to be applying that pesticide application. Again, this is an opportunity for parents to work with that school district to really understand why that spraying has to occur. Is it more of a preventative nature? Or is it something that is addressing a specific problem?
Michelle Nacoretti-Chapkis is with Healthy Schools Pennsylvania. They recently recognized 8 Pennsylvania schools which are taking steps to protect their students and staff from environmental risks. You can learn more about that at our website, alleghenyfront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.